Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 326. As this week we bring you the first hour of WCW Fall Brawl 1998. Hello, you people, and happy War Games Sunday. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I'm joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim was hoping to return home this weekend, but it looks more and more like it will happen this coming Thursday, December 11th. Filling in for Jim this week, once again, is the distributor for the Creative Control Network and also a star of a couple of big wrestling podcasts, including the co-host of Raven and the co-host of Raven's podcast and the co-host of Keeping It 100. Please welcome Mr. Joe Feeney back to the show. Joe, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and head back to 1998 where it is no retreat, baby, no surrender?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember watching this as a young 16-year-old on my way to 17, and I think I was passing by the TV and stuff and liked some of what I saw and remember being, you know, tragically disappointed by the end. But, well, you know, I'm looking forward to reliving it, though.
Okay, well, we're going to give it our best shot. Obviously, we're looking forward to having Jim back as soon as possible. I'd like to point out, of course, patreon.com/waybackplayback is the place where you can go to get all of our past episodes, get episodes in advance, ad-free episodes, at least all the new ones, and bonus content. That is patreon.com/waybackplayback. It's also where you can go. You can also stop off there if you want to advertise on the program, or if you happen to be a millionaire real estate mogul and want to own a podcasting network, if you want to discuss a buyout, you can discuss it with Joe Feeney directly.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That just wanted to make that clear for some reason. Big week, Thanksgiving week. Didn't get to talk about it. We charted in our 19th country here on Wayback Playback as we reached number 69 in Slovakia. Nice. Yes, I know. We're very happy about that. And we're once again back in the top 100 American wrestling podcasts on iTunes and mm-hmm. one of the top 250 leisure podcasts in America. Getting back to where we belong, and I want to thank Lodi for sending in for the Thanksgiving episode. Always a big hit. Lodi is, of course, responsible for choosing this show, and it was a show where Lodi is part of the best match on the show, so go figure. Yeah. Funny how that works. But let's tell you where we are, folks. Fall Brawl 98 won the vote. It is Sunday, September 13, 1998. The previous WCW show took place Friday, September 11th, in front of 13,338 watching a house show in Cincinnati for WCW. 98 was a great year for the business in terms of drawing people to the shows. On that show, if you were in attendance, mm-hmm. the team of Sting and Kevin Nash defeated U.S. champion Bret Hart and his tag team partner Scott Hall. And in the main event, it was the WCW champion Bill Goldberg defeating the Giant. So that's a plenty big main event, I would say, for Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, if you were prepping for this the night before by watching WCW Saturday Night, you'll notice that the main event was Steve McMichael defeating Stevie Ray by disqualification.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could really probably only go one way. I was going to say it could go either way, but it didn't.
Meanwhile, the WWF on a Saterday night, on a Sunday night, they were doing big business in Anaheim at the Arrowhead Pond. 10,252 turnout for their live event house show there. On that show, it was The Rock defeating Intercontinental Champion Triple H when China interfered. The Rock wins by disqualification. And in the main event, a fatal four-way for the WWF title, Steve Austin manages to defeat Kane, Mankind, and The Undertaker by pinning Kane. I think I just described the entire year of 1998 in a nutshell for the WWF right there.
Yeah, 98, since you mentioned how good, you know, ticket sales were and everything, I was reminiscing a little bit. And, you know, I thought about how great the summer 98 was. You had the, you know, it wasn't so great for Mick, but Foley off the cage at the King of the Ring. You had ECW's Heat Wave, which was fantastic, probably the best ECW pay-per-view out of the whole bunch. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people were happy with the Goldberg title win and were happy to see Warrior coming as a big surprise and stuff, so there's a lot of excitement going on in the summer of 98. Now here's September, and I don't know, I guess WCW started to have a few bumps in the road there, you know.
Yeah, they did. Even July, you know, Carl Malone and Dennis Rodman in a tag team match in the wrestling ring, the, you know, two of the biggest stars in the NBA. Yeah, that was kind of important, I'm going to say. Also, if you decided to, instead of Fall Brawl, to check out Sunday Night Heat on September 13th, well, this was 98, and Sunday Night Heat still meant something. So the main event, Jeff Jarrett defeated X-Pac in a lumberjack match. That was pretty big. Meanwhile, ECW had a big weekend. On Saturday, September the 12th, they were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, their largest live attendance, largest house show attendance to date, 3,470. It was, however, the night of PJ Walker, Justin Credible's wedding, so there were some absences, but on the show that they did have, the ECW champion, hometown boy Shane Douglas, defeats Lance Storm, and in the main event, the ECW tag team champions, Sabu and Rob Van Dam, defeat Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm missing live wrestling right now, like everybody is, and unfortunately, from what I saw on social media as well, my home base at the ECW arena, the 2300 arena, is in a little bit of trouble. You know, they haven't been able to run events all year, so they had there's a fundraiser, a GoFundMe kind of thing going on. So if you search for or just go to @2300arena on Twitter, and you should be able to find it if you're interested in helping those guys out and keeping the place going. You know, that would be really unfortunate if this all wrapped up and we're all ready to go out and, you know, watch some wrestling or go to a concert or boxing or whatever, and that that landmark is closed. That would not be good for South Philly.
Well, I mean, it's not just wrestling. They can't have any events, right? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they haven't been able to do anything. But they host wrestling most famously, but I know they do boxing and MMA now. They do concerts. They do, like, dance parties. It's a nice place now. It really... they redid it real nice.
And no longer smells like dead bodies?
No. And there's even air conditioning. Fancy that. You know,
that's so crazy.
Big upgrade.
All right. New Japan on Sunday the 13th, they were in Hamamatsu drawing 3,000. The big feature bouts on that show, the NWO Japan team of Michael Wall Street and Scott Norton defeated Yuji Nagata and Kenzuki Sasaki. And in the main event, it's Kengo Kimura, Shiro Koshinaka, and Ginichiro Tenryu defeating Hiro Saito, Hiroyoshi Tenjan, and KJ Muto. Oh, well, not bad. All right, and on the independent front, Saturday night in Statesville, North Carolina, at the fairgrounds for New Dimension Wrestling draws 394 for their main event, the team of Matt and Jeff Hardy defeating Joey Matthews and Champagne, a.k.a. Marty Garner. So there you go. Jeez. All right, and that leaves us to where we are, I think. Pro Wrestling News, direct from the newsletters. The big news is that the movie Hitman Hart Wrestling with Shadows is scheduled to drop a month from now on October 19th, and word has leaked to the Observer that Bret Hart was mic'd up for most of the evening. Wonder how that's going to turn out.
Interesting.
Yes, I know. Provocative. let's see. Also, Vader sidelined due to elevated blood pressure due to what his trainer said was over-dieting and overtraining. That didn't serve him well in the WWE, I believe.
Mm-mm.
And in a time when wrestlers were busted for bad behavior, a certain ECW guy by the name of Taz was arrested in Pittsburgh on 9/12 at a tanning salon for allegedly exposing himself there. So I think I'm going to have to look up. He's out, folks, and he's not a sex offender. So I guess that ended okay for him.
Yeah, I think the charges kind of went away. And yeah. I'm not saying that to be, you know, mysterious. Yeah. I don't know if they were dropped or what happened, but it never went further than that report.
Yeah, it's funny how with a lot of these things, you know, everybody hears about the charges and you never hear, you never hear when the charges are dropped, really.
It just happened this week with ADR, Alberto Del Rio, rather. Yeah. All those charges, those violent, vicious charges against him were dropped. The woman recanted. But I don't know if that's the biggest story.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no idea what actually happened. But
yeah.
Okay. So let's get on with the program here. So this is Fall Brawl 1998. We're at the Lawrence Joel Coliseum in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with attendance of 11,528. That's on the campus, I believe, of Wake Forest University. You've probably seen some college basketball played there. Yep. Okay. There we go. Named after an Army medic named Lawrence Joel. Well, very nice. Okay, so we're at Fall Brawl. I'm at 0 minutes and 0 seconds, I think. And of course, this Roku just kicked me off the network. But
Fall
Okay, so I'm here with my good friend Shane Shadows, and I get to explain to Shane how Patreon works if you sign up at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Shane, you know that we've been doing this show for 6 years now and change, so you probably want, and the show is there for free on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and basically and wherever your finer podcasts are aired. So you're probably wondering, what could a patron offer me? Well, I'll tell you what. How about ad-free episodes of the show before the show comes out for everybody else? I think that's a good start.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, that we had a bunch of shows that we did on Pro Wrestling Torch that were locked behind the paywall. And thanks to a deal we made, you get access on our Patreon to all the shows. All 324 episodes. Including stuff.
All 324?
All 324 episodes, including Jim and I doing the 92 Rumble and, the Wrestling Classic, which is probably one of our most enjoyed episode. WrestleMania's 16 through 20, all that stuff is in there. And the best part is it's relatively inexpensive, $4.50 a month on Patreon, and you get all of that. $10 a month is our Black Scorpion tier. You get all of that plus the bonus matches and bonus shows that we do. And I can point out, Shane, that no matter which option you choose, you'll get every time that Shane Shadows has guest hosted Wayback Playback.
Wow. All that for $4.50?
I know. That's a heck of an entertainment deal for $4.50. And, of course...
Tremendous, tremendous.
That's what I always say. And that's what Bob Keller always says, too. And he would definitely tell you to check it out. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. Your source for all of your Wayback Playback needs. I'm going to get back to 0 minutes and 0 seconds. Joe, I trust that you can do the same.
Yes, that should be fine.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, so I'm going to get back to all the great WCW action on here and whatever this is. And matter of fact, let's see here. Find 298. Okay, so full scroll past. Okay, hit the button and let's go and do this. I'm going to do this right after the ad. Actually, I think that's on here. Yep. They have documentaries on the WWE Network, Joe. I know you don't believe that now.
Yeah, you know, I had heard really good things about the Ray and Eddie Guerrero one. Mm-hmm. Conan was actually saying that on the show last week. I dived in a little bit, or dove in, rather, a little bit to some of the older ones. I was watching the Hardys one yesterday. Yep. I was watching Austin's interview with Undertaker. And, you know, it is fun to have it at your disposal, even if you don't watch the pay-per-views every month. There's so much on there. You're just like, oh, I feel like watching, you know, Global or Nitro or Thunder or Raw from 96 or whatever. It's all there.
That's kind of what we do. Okay. 0 minutes, 0 seconds, blank screen. Everybody, let's hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Here we go. There's that Hollywood Hogan fellow. There's Stevie Ray. Mm. There's Bret Hart. That's Team Hollywood. One of these things just doesn't belong here. Anyway, Kevin Nash, Sting, long-haired Sting, and Lex Luger, they make up Team Wolfpack, as you probably know. Yep. I don't remember if this is, I think this is overdub music. And, yes, Warrior Q Warrior Esquire, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Diamond Dallas Page, they make up Team WCW. That's right, folks. NXT did not invent the three-team war games. This was actually a WCW innovation from the fall of 1998. Yes, it is Fall Brawl, and it's amazing, but it's a weird format, and there can only be one winner, really. But we'll get to that in a bit, like 2 weeks from now.
Oh, yeah.
Goldberg fears meat pockets? I don't understand what that was. Okay, anyway. All right, there we are. We're in Winston-Salem. And Winston-Salem, this is, I think, the third straight year that they did War Games and Fall Brawl in Winston-Salem, and they drew a good crowd.
One of the funniest things about the mind of Vince McMahon, and I'm sure there's a whole lot of funny things about that, but is that, you know, his refusal to want to use concepts like this. And they're getting him to do it now with the WCW pay-per-view names. But I know from what I've read that Hunter wanted War Games back for a long time, and Vince was always like, no, you know.
Nobody's heard of that. Nobody wants this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crap. Who's heard of that? And so now he gets to do it in NXT, which is great.
Yep. Perfect. All right, so we got Bobby Heenan and Mike Tenay there with Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, and you know, people always ask about your favorite announce team, but they always, for some reason, people always say a two-man announce booth. But I think these three guys together might be my favorite three-man team.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of three-man teams myself, yeah. You know, because usually it's associated with, I don't know, like bad Monday Night Football booths.
Yeah.
So, and usually there's just, and I mean, there's, and I mean, a lot of times in wrestling, when you have a three-person booth, one of the people on the team is a paperweight, basically, but that's not the case. You know, Bobby Heenan is doing shtick and putting over the heels generally, and Mike Tenay is there to provide actual wrestling knowledge about the non-American wrestlers. So,
yeah. You weren't referring to Dennis Miller as a football commentator there, were you?
Would I do that, Tchotchke? No. That's I like Dennis Miller, yeah. Right. Yep. They had Dennis Miller. They had Tony Kornheiser there without. Well, anyway, we're not going to complain about Monday Night Football. There's lots of other ways to do that. Now, you call me when Booger McFarlane is doing Raw or SmackDown, and we'll have a talk.
Yes.
Oh, boy, there's a melee going on backstage here before the opening match. That's Ernest the Cat Miller. He's involved in a big match in the first hour, or a match anyway.
He had already turned heel by then.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, he was just like your, you know, everyday babyface karate man that came out to save Glacier from the evil team of Wrath and Mortis.
Yes.
But they found a much better spot for him. I'm sure he found it himself. From what I understand,
he was a natural.
Yeah, that was basically his locker room personality that they just put out in front of the camera.
Okay. Right. Okay, so yeah, Bobby Heenan's pointing out that there are, in the War Games, there are five former world champions in the match. Well, so I guess that's true. So.
Let's see, Warrior, Bret, Hogan, Luger, Sting, Nash.
Nash was a champion, yeah.
So maybe it should be six.
Yeah, that's true. Nash hadn't been champion in WCW yet, but yeah.
Right.
Okay, here we go. All right, Mean Gene Okerlund. Oh, yes, talk about Rick Steiner versus Scott Steiner, which will headline this hour of Wayback Playback. This was an anticipated match, I swear to God.
Yeah, well, it's like the fourth month that they you know, you weren't sure if they were ever going to deliver it. Yeah.
Oh, and there he is, your television champion, Chris Jericho.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. And that is an excellent tuxedo jacket on Gene as well.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. Okay, all right. All right, we got a scoop. You don't even have to call the hotline. Yes. Right. Okay. Yep. Uh-oh. Guess who Jericho's going to call out? Yeah. Yep. So he's calling out Bill Goldberg for tonight. Match here at Fall Brawl.
Remember what a surprise that was. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer because Chris had so much momentum. I was like, well, he'll make it fun, you know?
Oh, well. Yeah.
I love the backstory. It's in Jericho's first book, and I'm sure he's told it on his podcast and stuff that, you know, it was Terry Taylor just came to him and basically told him just to mess around. Just go call out Goldberg. We need to fill up some time. Oh, you know what? Call him out tonight too, and he kept doing it. But Goldberg didn't like the idea.
Goldberg hated the idea.
Yeah,
and people were like, you don't want to work with Jericho. You don't want to sell for Jericho.
Yeah, this little guy, he'll never be anything.
And Bischoff, of course, sided with Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
people, wanted to see this, you know. But after the way they'd build it up, people wanted to see like an actual match on Nitro, you know. Jericho stooges and runs away and, you know, hides and eventually gets beat. People would have loved that.
Oh, yeah. It could have been the typical Goldberg match. Just Chris will come out, run his mouth. It could even just be spear, jackhammer over, but the place would have went nuts.
Right. I mean, they could have drawn like a rating. Yeah.
God forbid.
Okay. Oh, we have tag team action here to kick things off. And here they are. The so-called Dancing Fools, the Disco Inferno, and Alex Wright.
Yeah, this is the match that I saw and was kind of dreading.
Yeah, well, they talked about this on Keeping It 100. And the explanation that Disco gave, which Conan sort of backed up, is, we tried to talk to our opponents about the match, and they were out back getting faced, and yeah. They really wasn't a match to go over.
And I remember years ago when I had Disco on Creative Control before I was doing, Keeping the 100 or whatever. I asked him about that, and I said, "Yeah, what happened with the injury on the trap door?" And I know we'll see that later, but
spoiler.
Disco said that's not what happened at all. That guy was messed up and hurt long before this match. So, insinuating that was just kind of an excuse that Davey Boy used afterwards. No, I hit my back, on the door. But according to Disco, who was in the ring, that's not what happened.
Well, we're going to take a look for ourselves. And Eric Bischoff discussed this match, believe it or not, on his podcast and said, well, I thought Alex Wright was the only one who did a good job in this match. So. Which we're going to have a discussion of, I'm sure.
He was another guy who once he turned heel, was doing much better stuff. I think Alex, when you first see him as the dancing baby face,
they just did that because he came out with it, and then they just kept going with it to goof on him.
Yeah,
this young kid who doesn't know any better.
But he wound up, when they talk about the cruiserweight of WCW and the guys that put on all the exciting matches, your Ray and Eddie and Dean and Jericho and all those guys, Psychosis, Hoovy.
Yeah.
People don't mention Alex that much, but he was in there and he was hanging with all those guys.
All right. So Davey Boy Smith, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, misspelled, I think. nice job, WCW.
I think it was misspelled on the video game, to be honest with you.
Good way to go, WCW. Well, maybe that's their way of trademarking it. I don't know. Yeah, baby.
People always say, well, why didn't Brett reform the Hart Foundation and WCW and have Davey Boy and the Anvil with him against the NWR or whatever?
Didn't want to.
Yeah, no, I think this match and some I don't think you could find a Davey Boy match after he came back to WCW that wasn't that hard on.
Davey Boy does not look 100% there. He's in good shape, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think one team's going to put in a little bit more, is a little bit better prepared for this than the other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad that the Dancing Fools didn't really get a run as tag team champions until, things were just too far messed up.
Yeah. I noticed that Alex had the evil facial hair, too. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Here we go. Well, that's how you know he's from he's the heel from the mirror universe.
Yeah.
That's how you used to be able to keep track of which side Jericho was on. If you hadn't watched Raw for a year or so, he's wearing a beard. He's got a beard. He's a heel now. All right. Yeah, there we go. That's Stu. Yeah. Cover your ears.
He's going to take a walk.
Yep.
He should. They're being very disrespectful.
I agree. Shut up, man.
And, Disco and Alex, when you look back, they're two of the few guys that never made the jump after WCW closed. They never got any WWE ring time,
I know. Given some of the people who did get ring time after the jump, that is kind of a shame.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Then again, Disco did get paid for a while, right?
Yeah, he did.
yeah, Alex Wright doing his job. Okay, what? There, I don't even know what Bulldog and Neidhart are doing there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, Davey Boy came back in this run. And he kind of sleepwalked through some matches on TV. Oh, there we go. And for the most part, it's not a big deal. If Davey Boy's working the Barbarian, they can have that match in their sleep and our sleep. But they're trying to do. They gave these guys the opener that they want to do something with Bulldog and Neidhart. At least you would think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. That was awkward.
Yes, it was. You hope this goes well. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Your turn, Disco.
Come on, Disco. All right. You got the anvil. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Ah, here we go. The strut. You know, I mean, Disco and Alex have figured out, well, this is, you know, this is not our night.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything we want, you know, we're going to have to work for it.
But Disco's got phenomenal tights in this match, though.
Oh, absolutely. Be sure to compliment him on his tights when you get back on the show.
Definitely.
And as a matter of fact, 2 weeks, let's see, in 2 weeks, we'll be doing the third hour of the show, and you'll get a big Conan match on there.
Oh, that's right.
Conan and Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Which, depending on what kind of night Scott Hall was having, well, we'll see. We'll find out.
Scott might be pretending to be in the state of mind that the Anvil and the Bulldog are.
Well, let's hope so for Conan's sake. Although Scott Hall and Conan still with us.
Yep. Yep.
Glad to say. All right. Yeah. Okay, well.
Wow.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, he's ready to, I mean, it's he's ready for indie, he's ready to do an indie show at the National Guard Armory. With that. All right, so here we go. Disco's ready. Disco's always ready. You know,
oh, yeah, to this day.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Look at that.
Like Steve Austin fire.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. He's got Neidhart's attention.
Okay.
So, oh, well, here's that baby face fire we were looking for.
Yeah.
All right. Oop. Wow. There's the $100 knee lift there. Yep. Oh, my. Okay. Up. Nope. Yep. Yeah, Neidhart needs a break right now. So.
Oh, big time.
Let's get Davey Boy in here. Okay. And let's slow down this match. Oh, wait. Oh, good job, Alex. Oh, that was probably where Davey Boy got hurt there.
That could have been it.
Could have been the knee in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. You know, in my indie time, you know, you've seen guys take, you know, really tough bumps and then just getting thrown in the buckle once and that's it. You know, you never know which bump is going to trigger the bump card. Is going to end the bump card there.
Like what happened? I know that the fan footage made its way out. But what happened with Dynamite Kid? Didn't he bent over for a backdrop or something, and then he just that was it. He collapsed or something. I can't
something
remember what
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very art, but
oh, look at that!
All right, that actually looked pretty good. Yeah. Okay. Alex is working here. I mean, you know. I mean, he's working like he's got something to prove, which you always like.
Yeah.
Oh, they're trying to explain the rule for the three-way war rules for the three-way war games, and this is WCW, so you know. It's
tough because it's not war games is a competition.
It's a team sport, yes.
Yeah, but in this, it was like whoever gets the pinfall. So
whoever gets the pinfall gets the title shot at Halloween Havoc, presumably against Goldberg. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. So that's all that's all the good offense you're going to get from the Dancing Fools tonight. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these fans are into everything, though. Do you realize how bad WCW had to be to lose these fans?
Yes, yes, I remember it well.
98 isn't, 98 isn't horrible yet, but it's not great. But they've got a storyline that people are into, which is the whole Wolfpack versus Hollywood. They could have just done. They just could have done a Wolfpack versus NWO Hollywood, NWO versus NWO War Games, and could have done a number one contenders match of some sort, which Paige could win for, you know.
Ooh.
Yep. Ouch, Disco. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have to, and they wouldn't have had to do all this crap. But,
you know. You know, sometimes you hear guys from in the business or whatever who, yeah, well, if you haven't worked, you don't know. If you haven't booked, you don't know. But when there's the majority of the fans going, how did they screw that up? That's got to tell you something. And yeah. I'm talking about Hogan Warrior, because people wanted that match for 8 years.
Yeah, they did screw it up. And I mean, I heard Eric Bischoff on his podcast saying, you know, don't have many regrets, but bringing in the Ultimate Warrior is one of them.
And I think he could have been even after that. I think he was salvageable. He got a pop the night after or something like that, and there could have been stuff they could have done with Warrior, teamed him up with someone, face off with Goldberg, anything, you know. Yeah. But they just sat him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had done what they had, you know, after Halloween Havoc. He'd done what they brought him in to do. So,
oh,
here we go, Stomp.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't see how you can blame what's going on here on Disco. I mean, you know.
Not at all.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
All right. You got me feeling sorry for him. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched him in TNA and didn't feel this sorry for him.
I think the Anvil actually was taking mercy on him and checking his face there.
Like, yeah, that was, yeah. Well, Anvil's not a jerk. He's just, you know, not at his best here.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't a jerk except when he was a jerk, but that's not, but he's not doing it here. That's what I'm saying.
Wrap her down.
Yeah. I mean, but it's, you know, somebody should be calling the ref here on the headphone and saying, okay, can we wrap this up now?
Yeah, or there was, I mean, if anyone know, there's like the Jeff Hardy at versus Sting situation, where if anyone noticed that these guys might not have been up to a pay-per-view caliber match, it could have been Disco and Alex and just said, hey, we're going to throw, you know, not Public Enemy. Why would I say Public Enemy? Right.
We're going to throw Disorderly Conduct out here, or whoever.
Yeah, whoever the heck
else is in the arena.
Whoever it is, Disco and Alex could probably have a good match with, you know.
I mean, but at this point, they always had more guys in the building than they used, so. Yeah,
bring out Mike Enos and whoever.
Rough
whoever.
And ready. Bring them out. Mike Enos and Dick Slater. Let's go.
Bring Wayne Bloom
out. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What are we going for there, fellas?
I think we're going for the slingshot. Nope. First of all, nobody told Davey Boy they were doing the slingshot.
Yeah.
And second of all, jeez. All right, here's Alex. Alex is going to – wow, that was nice.
And, I like how Alex looked eager to get in there after all that, too.
that takes some gonads. Well, right now, they're turning the fans on Bulldog and Night Art are doing so poorly, the fans are starting to turn.
Yeah. And I think something was strange there when he got backdropped, because he landed on his hip, and he took like a flare backdrop bump. And
yeah, that's why something's up already.
Yeah, something's strange. And I think that slam, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, obviously Bulldog is not 100% there. But he's still going to try the power slam. Nope. Oh, here we go. They could have put they could have pulled Disco and Alex over here. I'm just saying, it would have worked. Oh, look at that. Referee drop down. Oh. Except that Disco's not the legal man, but nobody cares. So, oh, look at this.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah, Disco's having problems getting up. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean,
he's doing the best he can there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, Disco Glenn was not dead waiting him.
No way.
And Disco's holding his knee, which is, jeez. And Bobby Heenan's saving this on commentary. Bobby's like, look, the old Disco fought it all the way going up here. Yeah. But Bulldog was too strong. That's right. Yeah, Bulldogs does not. Yeah, Davy Boy is looking gray there. Is that Jeremy Borash? Sorry. Look at the guy in the front row. Oh, yeah, that, yeah, he landed, yeah. He didn't even try to land. He didn't want to land on his back.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
No, he's messed, yeah. He's hurt, well, yeah. Bulldog's hurting.
For once, that replay of the power slam, they didn't show the botch, you know. They just
well, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good, Craig Leathers. All right, back to me and Gene Okerlund. Okay. There's an ugly rumor going around. Oh, geez. An ugly rumor backstage in the WCW locker room. What could it be? Oh, Scott Steiner. The rumor is Scott Steiner's not going to wrestle tonight.
Hmm.
And there's Buff.
Who would have thunk it? Man, I mean, as big as he looks on TV, I couldn't imagine in person how big Scotty was looking.
Well, Scott's going to.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Scott's claiming an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dr. Buff says. Yeah. Doctor. Scott's saying. Scott Steiner's injured, according to.
I love that pretty much anywhere you see Buff, even if it's just on like a Skype or a StreamYard podcast interview, he's usually got that hat on. He's gonna wear the Buff
hat.
He's
a pro. Yeah. Oh, well, J.J. Dillon happens to be walking by. It's a doctor's note. Dr. Siegel Schwartz.
I thought JJ, I liked him a lot as the commissioner. You know,
yeah, he played. JJ can do that. JJ can do the Jack Tunney stuff.
He played well off of these guys. Him and Jericho had some fun, and against the NWO, yes, he did too. You know.
Yeah. 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 Right. Here we go. Mm. Yep. JJ says the match will take place. Oh, thank goodness. He has to wrestle Rick Steiner, or he's going to be suspended.
Nope. That's nothing new for Scott, though.
Yeah. Scott picking up the scraps is pretty good.
Now, I was going to say, I don't like they postponed this match for a few months, and they would always have some excuse for Scott, but he really was having back problems at the time.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah.
So to see him scurry around on the floor like that, that kind of made me second guess.
He must be ready to go, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so crowd's into it, despite not the best opening match. Here we go. Oh, tap out. That's the Taz tap out shirt. Still counts, I guess. I mean, you know, look, everybody's pretty much the whole building is wearing WCW gear.
Yep, very excited doing the hand signs, everything else. And that's why, like, I don't.
They've overdubbed the WWE music for Jericho. Jericho is coming out to the in WCW. He was coming out to one of the knockoffs of one of their knockoff themes, and it was a knockoff of Even Flow by Pearl Jam.
Right.
And it was perfect for Jericho at this point.
It was, yeah, yeah.
The Horsemen are in the building. Okay. Yeah, I don't think you really need to do that if your WWE network is dub over the Jericho music. But it could be sense. But you know, at least they're not dubbing over, unless they're not putting Judas over it, so
yeah.
Could be worse. All right, here we go. And this is like the second appearance of Ralphus. The Jerichoholic Ninja and the Jericho Personal Security. And I mean, I it's my understanding they started after a few weeks gaslighting, you know, Ralph wasn't telling, hey, you're a big star now. You should get, you know.
Yeah, I heard he had groupies.
Yeah, well, he's Ralphus.
Yeah, look at him. Nope.
Nope, that's catering, I guess. Okay. So, all right, so we're doing Spinal Tap again. Oh, Jericho signed that one shirt. There you go. The Jericho-Holic Ninja.
See, it's interesting to me because they gave that opener an extended amount of time for what that was, and now they're killing time with this and everything, and it just makes me wonder what the reason was. You know,
because it's WCW.
Yeah, I mean, again, that you said there's so many guys in that locker room.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there was big matches here. Like I said off the top of my head, the War Games, Conan and Scott Hall, like you said.
And I mean, this is a one match show, really. I mean, yeah. I don't want to disrespect, you know, Raven and Saturn, because that winds up being a big deal.
Yeah,
and they got Skinner versus Steiner. But if you're ordering this pay per view, you're ordering it for the War Games.
Yeah.
I mean, the number two match is Conan versus Scott Hall, and they're, you know. There's some big names that are left off of this show.
You know, Flair was still having his. I think he came back the
next night.
Yeah. Oh wow! It's the next night. Okay.
Flair's back the night after this. So, but it's still not. My understanding, it's still not. It wasn't 100% guaranteed until like the morning of the show that Flair was going to show up.
Yeah. So. In an alternate universe, he jumped ship and became corporate champion and feuded with Austin in the summer of 98, you know?
Well, that, yeah.
Ah, that's great.
They had plans. Oh, very nice, yes. The fake Goldberg pyro doesn't go, yeah. He's planning because he's trying to do the Goldberg pyro and the pyro doesn't work. Yeah. Thank you.
Another guy, like we were saying about the Cat or... Alex Wright, Jericho, who came when he came in, kind of just like your colorless baby face, long hair, you know.
Yeah, and then they grabbed him from ECW. They, you know.
Yeah, but when he wound up turning, like this character was so entertaining.
Yeah, I mean they had all this TV time. They gave people interview time to people who otherwise wouldn't have gotten interview time, and the other sank or swam, I guess.
And he made a whole career for himself.
And here we go. Here's the Goldberg music. And Goldberg is 143-0.
Not only a career in wrestling and in music, as we know, but I also happened to see Chris in the Jay and Silent Bob reboot the other week. So he's got himself an acting career as well.
Game show host, too, you know.
That's right. And unfortunately, I think when COVID hit, he was so desperate for guests, he had me on. So, I mean, that's...
That poor guy.
Well,
okay, so here we go. Let's see. Okay, and this is... it is my understanding that... yeah, there it goes.
Oh, my God.
And here it goes, the pyro. And it is...
He's in there somewhere.
Here he goes, and...
Oh, that's pretty clever.
And it's John Green, folks. Better known as Johnny Attitude. Yeah. He's a WCW enhancement performer. They once considered him as a manager for Harlem Heat before they went with Sherry. But the word had circulated, well, according to Meltzer, the word circulated backstage that they had shaved his head and given him a fake Goldberg tattoo. So here he is.
Yep. Grab the toy belt right from the concession stand. That's pretty great.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this stuff was funny before WWE started doing it so often that people would just expect the goofy swerve.
Yeah, this was the first. Mm-hmm.
John Green, best known as the owner of Micro Championship Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. There you have it.
Mm-hmm. Passed away in 2018.
Mm.
At the age of 53. Well, that's too bad. And yeah, Tony's apologizing. This is obviously a goof.
But he is inhabiting this role. He's like Daniel Day-Lewis out there. He has become Goldberg.
I mean, plus, yeah, I mean, this is before Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
This is before they did the Dwayne Gilbert. Yeah. Here we go. So it's mini Goldberg against the... Where are the white women at? I don't know. I don't know, folks. Well, I can tell you where the white women aren't. They aren't in that. They aren't on that side of their building there.
Apparently not. No.
On ringside. Yeah, Heenan's loving this. Hey, So, I mean, the fans know what's going on, but they're expecting, like, oh, he's going to, oh, the suplex. They're expecting Goldberg to run out after this and kill Jericho, the real Mr. Goldberg.
Come on, baby. Yeah, I think I remember reading in Chris's book, he was on a nice hunting trip or something, and just, that's where I'm at. I'm not coming in for the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Oh, a spear. Jericho sells the spear. That's great. Sort of.
Oh, now he's infuriated.
Yes, here we go. Le Champion, is that work here?
Caught him in the mouth with that one.
Oh, my goodness, Sam. Oh, here we go. It's the Walls of Jericho, or the Lion Tamer, as they called it back then. Goofy hairdo, he's all set.
I think he could have held out a little bit longer before he tapped. That'd be great if he started crawling for the ropes and everything.
Yeah. Come on. Okay. All right, Mickey Henson saying, come on, get off of it, knock it off. All right, so Jericho keeps his TV title.
I was kind of nervous, you know, thank God.
Yeah. Okay.
And he could have started coming out with both belts.
Yeah, he ruined it. Oh, well. NWO West 3rd, thank you.
We want Flair.
We want Flair. An actual OWN sign for the One Warrior Nation.
Wow. I heard that those shirts, you know, they didn't really sell that great.
No, I guess not.
Although I bet people would buy them now kind of not a joke, but kind of a joke,
yeah. Jericho is a bad mamma jamma. There we go. Let's check in with our internet site.
Oh, is that Busby over there?
Yeah, it could be.
Chad Damiani, right?
Yeah. Dully Boy. Wasn't he Dully Boy? Lee Marshall. Yes, you can go on WCW.com during the pay-per-view and listen as Lee Marshall and Chad Damiani interview Rick Steiner.
He's the former co-host of The Raven Effect. He's a funny guy, man. He's a really quick wit.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. But I even as a hardcore fan, like 98, around the spring of 98 is when I started. I mean, I was watching for years, took some time. I started watching again around the NWO time. But in the spring of 98, I got the internet. So
yeah, I know.
When you start to
internet changed everything, man.
And but even as hardcore as a fan that I was, I don't think I would ever listen to.
No, I didn't do that either.
Although when they did the WCW internet audio shows, those were pretty great.
I didn't really listen to those. Oh, Mike Tenay standing by.
Is that
the Armstrong brothers?
Is that the Armstrongs?
Steve and Scott Armstrong are being interviewed during a pay-per-view. Really?
Is that
Heenan's?
Yeah, Heenan. Bobby can't be in two places at once, can he?
I don't know. It looks like it. Oh, no.
Oh,
this is earlier today. Oh, this was earlier today, I'm guessing.
Nice jacket, Norman.
Yes. Norman Smiley and, yes, they had to do a pre-tape of the Armstrong brothers. Okay.
Whew.
Wow. Well, this led to this red-hot match tonight. We have Norman Smiley against Ernest the Cat Miller.
Black Magic.
All right. Here we go.
That was his name in Florida and Mexico, yes, I believe, right, Norman? Currently, I don't think he was one of the guys that got furloughed back in the early months this year. But Norman, big NXT coach, I believe.
Yes.
Still, yeah.
Good guy to learn technical wrestling from.
But at this point, like, again, it's a pay-per-view. And I remember seeing this and just remember him from a couple of TV matches, but going, why is Norman
He's not
smiling?
The big wiggle guy yet, yeah.
No.
Yes. And here's Mike today talking about Norman Smiley's submission background, which is a cue that he has no character yet. 3-time world karate champion.
Wow, this is
Ernest the Cat Miller.
Interesting.
In 2000, he was pretty much all over WCW television every week.
Mm-hmm.
And they did something with him and James Brown on a pay-per-view.
Super.
They brought in James Brown to get him over.
Yeah. A little too late there.
Yeah, you think so?
Not for him, not for the Cat, but for the company. You know, no one was watching that pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they brought in James Brown unannounced for a pay-per-view, which makes even less sense than, oh, never mind. Okay, so here we go. It's Norman Smiley, Ernest the Cat Miller. And everybody, people have already hit the concession stands. Hello, ladies.
Yes. Oh, yeah, look at that big section empty.
Yes, yes. Hey. Yes. I kind of wish he had stuck around as the color commentator on Velocity, but I guess that wasn't going to last.
Yeah, was he even there for a full year?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Because it's Velocity. Who cares?
But then he did do some in-ring stuff, not much.
Yeah.
And, of course, he had that role in The Wrestler, which he was he was good.
Oh, yeah.
And I know he was always saying in interviews that he was going to be the lead in an HBO movie about George Foreman, but we've never came to fruition. So.
I don't know if he's a good enough actor to do it, but he could have pulled off being a younger George Foreman, yeah. He's going to turn his back on Norman Smiley. On old Black Magic. Okay. All right. For. Oh, and Norman's got to be the good guy and just, you know, turn him around. Oh, the headbutt. Oh, no. Wow. Crowd's just thrilled.
His boots are, what are they, just short boots for Norman there? Must be a preference.
Yep. Okay. All right. So.
I don't know if it happened, but I'd like to dig up a Norman Smiley versus Regal match. You'd have to.
Oh, geez, that would be, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be friggin' fantastic. Oh, there we go. Ooh. Super kick. Super kick outside the ring. Not a great one. Unfortunately, the camera was right there to see it. Yeah. It's a pay-per-view, folks.
Well,
here's the problem. Is there anything so far that's happened that you couldn't get on the first hour of Nitro?
No, not at all.
Yeah. There you go.
And it became kind of a pat. Next month at Halloween Havoc was really jam-packed to the point where they went overtime.
That was loaded. Yeah, that show was loaded, though.
I remember World War III and Starrcade had some head scratchers like Starrcade 98.
Yeah. I was at Starrcade 98, and it's like, what is this?
Horace Hogan and somebody in a tag match, and Mike Enos is out there, and I liked Mike Enos, but it was like, what's going on here? Why are they doing this?
Why are you doing matches at Starrcade, this is your Starrcade, this is your big granddaddy of them all show. Why are you doing matches that you didn't advertise between guys that, you know, aren't main guys? All right, well, So we need pay-per-view time to get Ernest Miller over.
Ooh. How about that?
Mm-hmm. That was good. Norman Smiley. Only dropped the big leg.
I don't know about that as a. I'm assuming it's his real name. I don't know about that as a wrestling name, though. That's not the most intimidating.
No, but he's not the intimidating guy. I mean, he never was. He's a technician. He's Technico. He's your junior heavyweight champion back in, you know. I mean, that's what his gimmick would have been, I guess. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go.
Norman, you want to fix your tights there, bud?
That'll be nice. Yeah. Okay. I'm the greatest.
Oh.
Well, this is not exactly filling everybody with confidence. I mean, you know, they loaded up the main event of this show with a lot of guys who are over,
mm-hmm.
but there's really nothing much underneath there. It would be the B show, except that Hogan and Warrior and Sting and Piper are on it.
I mean, I know Hogan didn't work every pay-per-view, you know, when he was champion or when he wasn't, but I don't know why you would give Goldberg off the weekend to go hunting of a pay-per-view when he's the newly crowned, well, not so new, but the new world champion. Yeah.
Well, this whole thing is obvious is set up to build to Warrior and Hogan,
yeah.
which is of course the real main event of Halloween Havoc, mm-hmm. except it didn't turned out not to be.
So disappointing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was saying before about how I discovered the internet that year for my wrestling news.
Yeah.
I was working at a cheesesteak place in Philly, and I told one of the guys.
They have those, huh?
What's that?
They have those in Philly?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had one in the Philly?
I'm kidding.
So, I told the guy that was working the grill with me, I was like, hey, are you taping Nitro or whatever? Because it was a Monday night. He's like, yeah. I was like, I bet you Warrior's on the show tonight. He's like, yeah, get the hell out of here. But I had heard it so much on the sites and on the WCW audio. Mm-hmm. And he came in the next time we worked together and he said, I'll never doubt you again.
Right. Oh, man. There we go. All right, Superplex. Come on, let's go, Norman.
Oh.
Oof.
There's something there. Oh, no.
Tom, here we go.
Oh!
Oh, almost.
Yeah.
You know, as a former indie booker, if you've never tried it before, please don't try it here.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
That was a nice, because, I mean, that was a nice
just
improvisation there. Obviously, they were supposed to go off with the Fiend liner from the top.
So, all right, folks, your winner.
Good for Ernest.
The Cat Miller.
The ring general there.
Yep. Touch my pen. No, thanks.
Hmm.
Yep. All right. Yay. Nope, he's not done yet.
He's going to come in and talk trash? Ah, oh, that's good.
Yeah. I'm the greatest. Yep. Obviously, they had some time to fill. It's not like there's a pay-per-view going on or anything.
No. I think people heard that bell ring and were like zipping up in the bathroom. Like, oh, I better get back. The match is over.
Something good might happen.
Yeah.
All right. Now, a special look at Rick and Scott Steiner. Here we go. The one we've been waiting for. Rick and Scott. Oh, man.
Mm.
Scott turning on Rick. You hate to see that Super Brawl. You hate to see it. And joining the NWO. Originally called White Thunder until somebody decided that might be a bad idea.
Yeah, that wasn't the greatest.
No. I'll hunt you till you die. Yep. What a surprise. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. And here we go, finally. After all the teasing, we're finally going to get this match at Fall Brawl. Okay. I know you're excited. We're all excited. I mean,
The problem was they, you know, there was a lot of tag team split feuds and stuff like that that year, yeah. You know?
There we go. Yes. All right. There we go. The moment we've all been waiting for.
What's your what time code are you at?
What time code?
Yeah.
Oh geez. Well, this is the. Okay, let me see. I'm at 47:20 right now.
Okay.
After this, yeah. This will wrap it up for the week, folks. After this. Hi, Buff. He's wearing Buff gear. The gear of the stars. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, throughout the 90s, you know, leading up this, they'd always turned down the idea of becoming singles wrestlers and feuding with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they wanted in 91, they wanted to give Scott Steiner a big push. And, you know, as a singles, Scott wouldn't do it. And Bill Watts wanted to split them up. You know, they were so not happy about it and having their money cut that they left. But, you know, finally, I guess it's time. It's run its course. There's only so much you can do with the Steiners. WCW didn't really care about tag team wrestling at this point. Yeah.
And I think Vince wanted to do it too, right?
He probably did. But I mean, the Steiners, they just were not happy in the end of their WWF run, and everybody knew it. I saw them at a house show. They looked like, you know, they just looked miserable.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet like a little bit of the match they had in ECW. It was the Steiners in a 6-man tag against Cactus, Dean Malenko, and Scorpio. And I can't remember often who their partner was, but
in 95 they were doing that. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, wow, what a cool surprise that would be, just be at the arena, and, you know, because they really didn't announce too much. You know, they announced a few things, and then all of a sudden the Steiners come out. Like, that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, Rick Steiner covered for Paulie when Sabu.
Right.
Sabu couldn't make that 3-way dance show, and, you know, and I mean, Paul always had, you know, Paul had his contacts from WCW, and he got to use the Steiner brothers, and here we go. All right, so far so good. There he is. Rick Steiner's got the advantage. Scott Steiner's got trunks that say Big Papa Pump. Oh, there we go.
All right. Oh. Mm. Throwing some good ones here.
There we go. Well, after what the Steiner brothers did to various guys that they worked, it's nice to see them, you know. They didn't lay back when it came to working each other. Yep. And Scott's remembering the Stooge.
He was so good at yelling at the ringside fans in this character, too, you know?
Yep. And he's going into the crowd.
Wow, I don't remember this match at all. This...
Nope.
Oh, he's going to drag him back. Ooh.
Yep. Mm. It's brother versus brother. That lady's just way too happy. I'm sorry.
Is that just a bunch of pictures of food on her t-shirt? What's going on there?
I have no idea. This is where we need Jim Valley to do the fashion update. Hey, I have those shower shoes that guy in the front row is wearing. That's nice. Don't think I've ever worn them in a wrestling show. Oh, here we go. Interference by Buff Bagwell.
Oh, boy. Come on, Buff.
Up. Up. Nope, nope. Oh, the low blow. A second low blow.
These dirty NWO cheaters.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, there's a woman in the front row. Good job. I mean, wrestling was popular back then. Right. Yeah, upstairs. Yeah, here's his elbow. Yeah. Okay.
Is that a that's Brian Hildebrand, isn't it? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oop. Okay, and out we go. Into the steps. There we go.
There he is. I don't know how he got away with that Superman logo on his tights, but
I think that they ended up changing it a bit.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know, Time Warner, Warner Brothers, DC Comics, I think you're okay.
Plus, nobody wanted to tell him that he couldn't have it at
all. Well, yeah. Well, no, but they're not Time Warner yet, are they? Where are they? Let's see.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Hey, well, yeah, they're Time Warner. Okay. Yeah, I think he can wear them.
Much like Tony Khan just got the permission to use Winter is Coming for AEW from HBO.
Yep. Very nice of them. Not like they're using it.
No.
Here we go. Nope. Mm. You know, he's making his brother look like $1 million. All right.
Wasn't it shortly after this that Chucky the doll interjected?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Hey, take it
easy.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. In case you missed it, there was a match where Buff Bagwell actually, it was, I want to say Thunder at the Carolina Coliseum in Columbia, South Carolina, mm-hmm. where Buff Bagwell legit injured and suffered a serious neck injury and had to be, you know, had to be backboarded out. It was on live television.
Yeah, no, I don't think a single person in the building or watching was buying what he was selling here.
No. Well, Heenan's trying.
Man, he is lighting him up with those punches, though, the forearms.
Well, Scott's trying. Come on, Buff. Try not to laugh, okay? Buddy. Yeah. Okay.
They neglected one thing, not to get too deep into it, but if I think when you land that way and get a stinger or something more serious, your feet cross for some reason. So you
the
can see.
The crowd's not buying it. They're already chanting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't be sprawled like that. You're right. Okay. And they probably would have had the medics run to get that run down a little bit quicker, but okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For God's sakes, don't touch his head.
Yeah. Nobody's giving the ref the X sign, which is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They basically put him on his back, which I don't think they. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one fan in the crowd's buying it. He's trying to clap. He's buying it. Like, come on, they wouldn't do this.
No way.
This is a serious show, man. Yeah, it's not like they'd suckered Rick Steiner like half a dozen times before this.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, this is like the worst one.
Yeah. Get back. We're looking at him. Okay.
Well, this is all J.J. Dillon's fault. If he wouldn't have allowed the match to go ahead,
of course.
This wouldn't have happened.
Here we go. Let's bring out the gurney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go. Hold the neck in place. Got it.
There we go.
Stuff. This man is a heavily trained professional doctor. Yes, I'll have you know.
That's right. This isn't Dr. Nick.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Okay, smokes. Okay, here we go. Get the real EMTs, yeah.
Again, like we've pointed out several times, this is a pay-per-view.
Right. This is a pay-per-view. You've paid like, come on. I don't know, $25 for this, maybe.
So now between 30, this, know. The very long tag opener, Jericho yeah. getting lost, like they really...
They've really stretched. They've really, hey, I'm on TV. I'm on the pay-per-view. Yay! Oh, okay, thanks, well, guys.
Certainly tragedy doesn't prevent fans from acting like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, the fans aren't buying this.
No. No, but even if it's a real one.
Go away. You better not be lying, man. You better be, he better be hurt. Yeah. Yes, please guard the top hat.
Whatever you do, he's going to need it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, oh, she's going to get in the ring. Here we go.
Okay, lady. There we go.
Uh-huh. And Mike today is like, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. Mike, have you watched the show?
Come on, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike's doing his job.
Oh, man,
he's doing his job. I mean, Tony Schiavone, you know.
Yeah.
Tony's approaching the point where he's hating life going out there every week. He's not there yet.
I wonder, again, and somewhere in an alternate timeline, yeah. Tony Schiavone got the executive vice president job instead of Eric Bischoff. And you have to wonder.
How it would have gone, yeah.
Yeah, everything. All, I think how many things would be different.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These guys have any idea what they're doing?
I yeah. mean, Heenan's actually talking about his own neck surgery and, you know, trying to kill time. But they're mostly just trying to kill time because... I mean, that's the problem with playing this completely straight like this.
Yeah, this is so bad. This is worse than I remember.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know who was involved, but there had to be at least one person on the team back there going, guys, I don't think this is such a good idea.
Yeah, let's not do this.
We could do anything else to fill the last, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, plus, you know, if something like this was going on, they'd cut to a video package or something, so they wouldn't show it.
Yeah.
That's the other indicator. Okay, while they're tending the buff bag, well, let's take a look at let's take a look at how we got to this thing between Raven and Saturn or whatever.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They'd be showing the replay of Buff going into the post, you know. I don't know, just...
Plus, Scotty's not a licensed EMT, so let's get him.
No, but... Yeah. Yeah, the EMT should have been pushing Scott Steiner away and saying, okay, we'll handle this.
Yep.
I mean, just all the little red flags are going off. Like, the camera's staying with this. Yeah, the cameras are with us entirely too long. There's nobody like, there's no other wrestlers like, you know, gathering around to see, you know, to look at them.
Everybody's hanging out. They're all having a nice cold Miller Lite. And...
Yeah. Having cold Miller Lite, they're watching the NFL, you know, the NFL on ESPN or whatever's on Sunday night. You know, come on.
The other TV might be on Heat.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we're going to follow Buff all the way to the ambulance, and then we're going to drive him to the hospital.
Jeez.
I mean, come on. I'm sure this seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, and you know what? I can't think of specifics, but it's like the ambulance pop-out attack isn't, you know, the most original angle, but it's I don't remember it ever being done, just wasting all this time.
Yeah. You know? When it's done well, it can be effective, but, you know. Yeah, why... Rick Steiner doesn't believe it, so why is he tagging along? Because this attack... Oh, there's Bischoff following along.
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw him run out. So that gave it a little...
Okay, that was at least, Bischoff looks somber and is selling it, so good for him, I guess. Yeah, but, the whole plan is dependent on Rick Steiner following him all the way to the ambulance. Oh, yeah. Let's see. There we go.
Some of those straps aren't...
you think?
Oh, my God. He's gonna get jostled around in there.
Yeah, that's not good for his neck. How's his mom? Call his mom. Oh, there you go. That's a good idea. Call Buff's mom. Let Judy know what's going on. Well, that part sounds authentic, that in real life they would call Buff's mom. Plus, we're over a year away from the best ambulance segment of all time, which is Steve Austin driving Bret Hart's ambulance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So bad.
I mean, yeah, they could have at least had, another one or two more NWO members come in and help with the attack.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
Man, that Buff is resilient.
I fooled you.
All that crap.
And Tony Schiavone saying, yeah, they should be barred for life right now. Well, realistically, they would have, in a real sport, Bagwell would have been gone for a while.
All that to just, he threw him into the door.
Yeah.
They have at least done something now the ambulance is going away with Rick because they injured him so bad or something.
Okay, there we go. All right, that's it. All right, that's going to be it. We're going to drop it at 103.49.
Want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business, the infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order? Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit. Give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuepique.com.
So we will rejoin this next week, and boy, do we have some amazing stuff next week. We got the Cruiserweight title, Juventud Guerrero defending against Silver King.
Mm.
That's right, Silver King.
Yeah.
We got Saturn and Raven for the future of Raven's Flock.
Yeah.
And the big revenge match is Dean Malenko seeks revenge on Kurt Hennig. And of course, if you'd like to know more about the Dancing Fools, about Davy Boy Smith, Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, Chris Jericho, or Johnny Attitude, you can go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or check out your local library app because they're all in books. Joe, do you remember the line here?
No.
Oh, well. Just same way back time, same playback channel.
Oh, yeah. Same playback time, same playback channel.
Tell everybody, first of all the other – how quickly can you go through all the other shows on this network plus the shows you do?
Not too quickly, but, let's see what you can, check out the Raven Effect, with myself, Raven and Rich Bikini of MLW on Mondays. You can check out, K100 with Conan and Disco and myself on Thursdays.
Right.
So those are the two shows I do outside of the network. On the network, of course, you're listening to Way Back Playback with Pat McNeil. There's also an honorable mention with Shane Hagedorn and Jeff Schwartz.
Good show.
Which reviews, Ring of Honor stuff, based off the fans. And we have the Four Sportsmen. We have F and For Real covering MMA. We've also got It's Usually Hello comedy show, Mike Durbin show, The Hambone Show. We've got and also Francine joined the network about a month ago. So check out Eyes Up Here with Francine on Saturdays. And Shane Helms is on two shows. He does Highway to Helms. He's been a little busy lately. I don't know if anybody heard.
Yeah, I heard.
So, but that show's it's still around. He's just got to get some time. And he also does PWR Primetime, where they review the Wednesday Night Wars and Impact. So that'll be an interesting episode this week as well.
Right.
I think I hit them all there.
Okay, I think you did great too. And of course, yeah, on Twitter at the CC Network One, if you want to hear everything that's going up, including previews of all the shows. We'll be back.
You know what I forgot? I'd like to throw a plug in for this. Is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. How can
John
I forget?
Pause, yeah.
Yeah, that is on Creative Control Network as well. And this week, they, you know, it's a controversial subject. They did an episode on Chris Benoit. So if you're interested in hearing Kevin's thoughts on Chris's career and whatnot and feuding with him and stuff like that, it goes into that. So that's it's not the episode you think. If you think, oh, I don't want to hear that. It's more about Chris's career. So, but someday they'll do the other episode that you're probably thinking of. But yeah, that's a great show. That's got a lot of momentum.
Okay. Well, we love it all. And of course, don't forget to leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Let's see. Jim Valley's at Jim Valley. Joe's Twitter account is?
At JFFEENEY3RD.
Okay, thank you very much. Until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.